This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
I hit it hard, man.
Good Saturday morning, everyone. John and Charlie in the studio. Billy Harmon is going to join us. How? Underwood. Underwood is going to be joining us here a little bit later in the show. He's a longtime Houstonian, University of Houston, All-American, and he knows Memorial Park, and we got to see Memorial Park yesterday. Charlie, I got to tell you, I don't think we could have had, it's impossible to have better conditions than we had the last 2 days here.
Fantastic.
It was awesome.
I mean, with Houston in November is the best.
It really is, and I hate to see, you know, because in November next year, without the Masters right after it, we're not going to get the same caliber of players coming here. But the weather, as compared to the spring, where it's rain a lot and windy and all kinds of stuff, the weather cannot be. This couldn't be better.
Still, Jim Crane wants an April date.
Yeah.
And it hasn't been established yet that we're going to return to this date. But, yes, the weather has just been fantastic. It's playing so – it's not playing anything like Masters going to play next week.
No.
Masters next week because in the fall they overseed and they keep the course really wet to have that rye germinate and get it going. So it's the golf course in Houston reminds me of a Scottish golf course.
It's rolling.
Rolling.
It's really rolling. Yeah, I saw guys, 17 is a short par 4, and the guys are hitting irons off, and it was rolling down to the water, close to the water. Tony Finau, he was able to birdie there yesterday, but he looks like he's going in the water because it just won't stop. Won't stop in the fairways.
Yeah, and if you hit it in the wrong spot on the green, it'll roll for 30 or 40, you know, yards.
Well, and all those greens are crowned. All of them are crowned. So if you don't hit it in the right spot over here, hey, and these guys are it's showing. 7-unders leading after 2 days. You know, a lot of people thought would they be at 15, 16 under right now. And 7-under, the guys are having a tough time with this place.
You better believe it. How about Phil? 9.
And holding out on 18.
Yeah, how about he made a 9 on par 3?
How about that?
Come on, Phil.
Come on. I mean, well, it ain't. I'm telling you, this place ain't easy. That's
He's
for sure.
He's got to go to the Champions Tour.
He certainly wins every event there, doesn't he? Might as well play there. But we're just getting it started. Billy Harmon's going to join us on the other side. And as we mentioned, Hal Underwood is going to join us here as well. So we'll talk a lot about Memorial and the old days and the new days right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Let's go.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
Hi, well, welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance. Let's bring in our good friend, Billy Harmon, to talk about what's going on this week and next at the Masters. Bill, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How's everything going at the Houston Open?
Man, Bill, I want to tell you, it cannot be prettier here. The weather is perfect, just a slight wind, maybe a half a club at most, and the course is just playing wonderfully. I mean, it's really standing up with these guys. I mean, I know you're not a big fan of, you know, 20 under, 25 under. Well, these guys are having some problems with this course, and it's really holding up against these guys.
What is the difficulty of it, Charlie? Why is it playing so hard?
Well, the green complexes are like Scotland, elevated greens, so you have to chip up to them. The bunkers are deep, but the conditions are really hard and fast. And being a new set of greens, they're so hard that a good wedge sometimes won't catch up, and it'll be 40 feet away. And then the lag putting is very difficult. So it's a golf course that they're going to have to, evaluate. Usually this time of year you have a little overseed on the greens, which helps protect the Bermuda, and it slows it down. But right now, Bill, it's like putting almost on like cement. And then chipping, as you can imagine, is just that much harder. But
Guys seem to like it.
Most of the guys, you know, there's a little complaint. Might have to tweak a couple of greens. But I just think the PGA Tour staff, they have to watch where they put the pin placements. And, you know, because there's a couple that were really...
Really tough.
Really tough.
Yep.
Well, and it's a new course for them too. So they're also people that set up golf courses. They don't know how it's going to play. So I'm sure they'll learn a lot this year, and they might even learn a lot the first 2 days. And it might be set up a little differently on the weekend. So you got to give them a pass too, I think, because they don't know how it's going to really play. But I certainly enjoyed seeing the scores being a little bit higher. And I would imagine, Charlie and John, that you really, really have to calculate where you miss, give yourself a chance for your short game to work. And so I like courses like that make you think. And, Charlie, you know this, at any time you don't allow them to stop the ball exactly where they want to, the course gets a lot harder.
Yep.
Yes, and the cross-bunkering on the fairway bunkers, Bill, are really – really placed well for the PGA Tour player, you know. So their driving it has to be more, you know, calculated and having a rough. It's almost 4 inches deep.
Yeah,
Bermuda rough.
I was walking up 18 with Sergio and Finau yesterday, and Sergio hit it right on 18 and into the rough, and I'm standing right above his ball, and all I could see was the top of his ball. That's it. And so, and he you know, he got it out of there, but he yanked it hard. He was able to get up and down, but you can't miss. The fairways are wide, plenty wide enough.
But they're hard to run out.
They're hard and they're running out, and you know, it's a really good test.
How was it being a spectator out there, John?
Oh, it was neat. Yeah, there's. I mean, obviously, we've seen with the crowds, Bill. There was only 2,000 people out there, so you were able to move around. That group that I was following for now, they had some people with them. The Dustin Johnson group had a bunch of people. Spieth had a bunch of people following him around all day, but it was. It was really, really neat. You get up close and personal, and you know, you had your groups to yourself. I followed my buddy Mark Hubbard around a little bit, and he was playing well. He made the cut at even par, so he's still out there. And it's great. It's so much easier to get around, guys. Than you guys are. Well, we've been to Augusta, where there's 40,000 people, or how many ever patrons. And so. This was wonderful. This was a joy to follow people.
Yeah. Bill, yesterday I watched Jordan Spieth's practice warm up from beginning to end, and it was about 50 minutes long, and he was very, you know, very determined, very, very focused. But for example, every now and then his ball would go left. He'd hit five or six balls really pretty good, get it started right at the target, and all of a sudden he'd hit it left. And then as he progressed into the longer clubs, the same thing happened with a little more regularity. The ball was not starting on the same line. I mean, you watch the good players in a warm-up, the ball starts one direction and one direction only. And so he's got a little shotgun spray going on. And yesterday he you know, the first day, Bill, he was three under after the first six and finished three over. And yesterday he bogeyed our ninth hole, which is a par three, to miss the cut. So I don't know what's going on in that young man's head, but it's not good.
I was out there.
Yeah,
go ahead, Bill.
I'm sorry, John. Yeah, you know, my understanding, he's going through some swing changes. So anytime you're going through swing changes, Charlie, you know, and John, even as an amateur, the last piece of the puzzle is always trust. As long as you have doubt in your mind in golf, I go back to what my great friend Frank Beard, the 1969 PGA Tour leading money winner, said to me one time. I've never met anybody talented enough to compete carrying fear during their swing.
Yes.
And I think that's a very, very, very accurate statement. And when you're going through changes, you have fear during your swing because you're not confident yet. So the last piece of the puzzle will always be trust, in my opinion, with golfers.
Yes, and he, I went right to the first tee and watched his first tee shot, and it wasn't the shape that he was trying to make. And it went left, and he started off bogey, par, bogey. You know, I mean, and you do that enough, it really wears you out.
We got a buddy that was watching. He texted me. He asked me if I'm out. I said, I'm out there. He said, I'm watching Jordan on TV, and they're showing every shot, and it's just, it's hard to watch because he doesn't know where that driver's going. And so he's scrambling every hole just to make pars. And you can't, you guys know, you can't compete out there when you're just scrambling to make pars, that's for sure. So he's got a...
What did Trevino say? Dogs chasing cars?
Yes, that's exactly right.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the other guy that I watched on the practice tee was Koepka. And I'd never seen it swing up close and personal, but, man, he goes at it hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he really is...
His ball sounds different.
He really is a hands player, Bill.
Yeah, he's very uncomplicated, I would say. He, when you watch him swing, it doesn't look like he's guiding it very much.
No,
he's
or
going.
Or Dustin either, for that matter.
Is that you look at him and you look at his injuries and you look at the way Tiger went after the ball too? I mean, he went after it hard as well, and sooner or later, it's going to catch up to your body, boys. Is it sooner or later? This is going to catch up to Bryson.
Boy, oh boy, that's a good question, John. And he's on the cover of Sports Illustrated going into the Masters, and usually that's bad luck.
Yeah.
So we'll have to wait and see.
The Sports Illustrated jinx.
Yeah. Yep. But there's a still picture of Bryson, Bill, at the top of his golf swing, and it's really, really magnificent. It looks a little like Jack Nicklaus, but he's really, really, really set to come out of the backswing and the transition, and it really looks beautiful.
Well, you know what we just talked about, and if you listen to Bryson closely at Wingfoot, he kept saying, you know, the science and my feels are matching up. So he doesn't have the doubt. He doesn't have the fear. He's taken technology and used it to allow himself to be more confident, Charlie, and to look at his numbers and to be comfortable with his science. I got to tell you, I don't like his pace of play and some things, but I admire what he's doing. I really do. I think anybody that's going to work that hard and push the envelope, to have the confidence to do that, I think as he progresses, he just might get harder and harder to beat because he does have that trust that Jordan doesn't have right now. This guy seems to have it. He seems to know exactly what he wants to do and how to do it. And more importantly, Charlie, as you know, he can correct it during his swing because he's built this swing.
Yeah, he's...
So he knows it.
It says here in the article that his driver is 5 degrees aloft. And that's really hard to comprehend.
Well, do you guys see? I mean, he's going 48 inches, right? Phil's going 47 and a half inches at Augusta.
Phil should go to the Champions Tour.
Phil, that's all he does is win there. We're going to take a break. Hal Underwood is going to join us on the other side. We'll talk about Old Memorial Park. We'll talk about Houston golf with Hal Underwood next on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance. Big week here in the city of Houston with the Houston Open going off at Memorial Park. A guy that knew it back in the day and has seen it now, out there now, and loving it too. Hal Underwood, 2-time national champion at the University of Houston, 3-time winner as a pro, and he's joining us here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Hal, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you. Doing fine.
Man, we appreciate you being here. How about Old Memorial Park now and New Memorial Park?
Oh, Lordy. Well, I don't remember a whole lot about the old course aside from the fact it was pretty flat.
Yeah.
But and it's fun golf course and pretty long. But the new golf course is just total transformation. It's topology, there's lots of roll, lots of hills, lots of falling land, and it's really long now. So it's a wonderful golf course.
But you think it's long with how far these guys are hitting it, Hal? I mean, back in your day, you know, a good drive was 275.
And oh, yeah, 250.
I was watching the guys warming up, and they beautiful driving range now we have, and it's 320 yards deep, and these guys are flying it over that high fence. I mean, it's unbelievable. But,
unbelievable.
You know, the difference between, you know, you were in one of the great, great golf programs in the 60s. Coach Williams put together a philosophy of just getting good players and letting you play. But the teams today are really well coached, well, you know, they have jets to fly in, they have their, you know, all sorts of advantages. What do you think of how they're coming out today, Al, all the stars of the future?
Well, what I see coming is the DeChambeaus. The golfers are going to be a lot larger. They're going to be 6'3" and above, all great athletes, well trained, as you said, because there's so much out there that they can learn how to hit a golf ball. And they're going to have deft touches, and so, you know, 350 will be the norm, and golf courses will be reduced to, like the first hole at Memorial is 522. And it's par four. So
par four, and they're hitting 8 irons in.
Hello. Yeah.
But, you know, one of the guys that you helped during his career coming up and all that, a former Cougar, Billy Ray Brown, he was really a talent back in the day, and he was long. But, you know, with the new technology, he'd have probably been as long as these guys are today, yeah. Huh?
Sure, you know, the technology has changed and the ball's going further, but the long guys are still long. You know, they're the longest ones out there. Even with the old equipment, they still be the longest.
Yeah.
Like Jack Nicklaus. Billy Ray was just one of the most talented human beings, golfers I've ever seen. He had a magnificent golf swing. Unfortunately, he had a wrist injury that curtailed his career, but he's doing well now and doing his NCAA.
Bill,
gig.
Hal, we have Bill Harmon on our line, too. He's with us every week.
Hey, Hal, how you doing?
Good, Bill. How are you doing?
I'm good. Man. I think I'm going to go back to the 60s, and I think I played in the Northeast Amateur and then the Eastern Amateur there in Portsmouth, Virginia. I believe that you might have played in one of those events.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe how good your swing was back then. You look like a tour pro. Back when you were in college, and I just recalled your most stylish swing. Now, I'm going back 50 years, so my memory could be a little bit clouded, but as you've seen the game progress, do you like how far the ball's going and not curving as much? Do you think that's good for the game, or do you think at some point in time they're going to have to reel it in?
Before I answer that question, Bill, I want to... congratulations on beating your cancer, and I'm so glad that you're healthy and doing well.
Thank you.
I don't think so. I mean, if you ask 100 golfers, 1,000 golfers, 1,000,000 golfers, if they want the ball cut back, if every single one would say no, we want it to go farther. So I don't see it as a big problem. It just everybody, the good players are the good players, and they. Long hitters are long hitters. It's always been that way, and it always will be. It's just a matter of relativity. So I don't think they'll ever roll it back. I mean, I wish they wouldn't. People love to see that ball go far.
It's going. Well, I mean, honestly, Jack was longer than everybody. Tiger was longer, right? And those were the best players, right? So we're going to find who can hit it the longest. Bryson DeChambeau is the longest now, and he's doing pretty darn well. Hal Underwood is with us here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance. Now, you back in the day, I mean, don't remember much, but Memorial Park, Hal, I mean, these guys were older than you, the Jackie Burks and the Tommy Bolts, but there was plenty of great golf going on at Memorial Park back in the day, wasn't there?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was lucky enough in 1963, the last time I played it there, I was in high school. I got to come down and see the tournament at Memorial. And Jack Nicklaus was a young man, and Palmer was there, and all the great players. I got to walk up, and they said, you got to see this man, Jack Nicklaus, hit a golf ball. We were on the 13th at Memorial. First thing we did was walk out there. I was about 15 feet from him. He swung and hit it, and it scared me. He hit it so hard. I jumped back. I never heard anything or seen anything like that in my life. And so that's the way he was. He just dominated with his length, and he's accurate with it, too. But Memorial was a good course then, and it's a much better course now.
You know, how Billy brought up memories of amateur golfing. The first Western amateur I played in Detroit, I came off the golf course, and I was feeling pretty cocky. I shot 71, but I played pretty good. And I go to the scoreboard, and this guy named Hal Underwood shoots 63. Huh?
I don't know that guy, Charlie.
He's still 63.
Oh, that's a different guy. I guess he's a good player once upon a time.
Yeah. Well, you sure would, and you've become a good teacher, and you've been around Houston, and you've helped a lot of Cougars and a lot of kids. And I've always admired you, Hal, and I appreciate you coming on the show this morning. And that's a great story about Nicklaus being so close and scared the hell out of you.
That's right. Well, thank you, Charlie. It's always been a pleasure to play golf with you and be around you. So thanks for putting me on today.
That's great.
Thanks, Hal. Good talking to you.
See you, Bill.
Hal Underwood here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, Inspiring Business Performance. That is good stuff. That is good stuff.
He's really, really a classic swing, Bill, like you said. You know, I was going to
When he was an amateur, I was like 16 or something, and I played in some of the big amateur tournaments that he was in. And he just looked to me a cut above. It was a stylish swing, you know, everything about it. He dressed like a pro. He looked like a pro. And played like a pro. No, he was a beautiful golfer. I definitely remember that.
One of the things I wanted to ask him, if he was there when the famous Butch Harmon was there. Do you know, remember what year?
Yeah, I don't know. I think he came after Butch.
Yeah, he was there 66, 67.
I want to say that Butch was just before then. I don't ever recall Butch mentioning Hal being there, and he would have, because Hal was a wonderful player. Well,
they had
I just remember somebody mentioning, Butch mentioning someone that he'd gotten into a fight with. And it wasn't Hal.
That's what Butch did back in the day, wasn't it?
And Butch, I don't think Butch lost the fight either.
Probably not. Not with that Butch temper. So Hal was on that team, though? Marty Fleckman?
Yeah.
And Hal Underwood and some of the other guys on that team? Yeah. That was a hell of a team they had there.
They were all good.
Yeah.
Good sticks. See,
Marty was stupid long back in the day.
Yeah. He definitely was.
Yep.
He there's some stories about him. You know, he hit it out of bounds on number one at Augusta.
He said, yeah. Well, he asked the starter. He said, sir, is that out of bounds? And the starter said, I don't know, sir. I've never seen anyone hit it over there. And it turned out, yep, it was. So good stuff. And we've got Augusta next week, boys. I mean, here we go. Guys are trying to get ready. It was good to see Dustin Johnson and Brooks Koepka bounce back from tough first rounds.
Yes.
And to play much better yesterday. You know, Dustin needed this, really, after the coronavirus, right?
Yes.
This is great to be competing. And to see him playing well now, you know, getting those the competitive juices going here as we head into Augusta, you've got to put him back on a favorite again, don't you?
I don't see why not. Number one in the world. He's played well this year. He's had his ups and downs, Bill. But, you know, I'm not sure who else would be number one.
Yeah, about 20 seconds here, Bill. What do you think of Dustin?
Oh, I think he's the other thing, along with his length, he's got that real slow putting stroke. Great on fast swing.
Yep. So good to see him up there. We got a lot to talk about. We got another segment here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Inspirity, Inspiring Business Performance. Don't you go anywhere.
The Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour brought to you by Insperity. What about Insperity, Charlie?
You know, John, I've been with Insperity for such a long time, and there's never a surprise of why they're so successful in growing their business since 1986 until now. Now it's a company that, you know, has 3,500 employees, have all over the country. And their secret, and this is a secret in life, how you treat people, and with courtesy and professionalism. And that's one, I think, of the hallmarks of a company like Insperity. Their way they treat their people, it's one of the great companies to want to work for in Houston. And it's, you know, they help small business people with their problems, with human resources problems, with IT problems. You know, you can, you know, as a group, you can get stronger with the scales of economy and make more money. So if going into this next year, and we hope that the pandemic's going to be behind us, give Insperity a call. Log on to their website, Insperity.com, and just read, see their philosophy. And if you need help, they're the ones to call, John.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. All right, let's talk a little Masters now, boys.
Yes.
Now, but none of us like to bet anything. We don't like to do that. But let's just look at it for the people that do like to bet on stuff, okay? I know Billy, he's opposed to all that gambling stuff. So, Bryson DeChambeau, 7-1. You put down $100, you win $700. He's the betting favorite. Rory McIlroy, 10-1. Dustin Johnson, 11. That's a pretty good price for Dustin Johnson now. John Rahm, 12-1. Justin Thomas, 14-1. Koepka, 20. Tiger, 22-1. He's about the eighth or ninth favorite.
There's a reason for that.
Yep. Where you see some value here, Webb Simpson, 28. Tony Finau, 40-1. I see some value in Tony Finau.
That's good value. I like Justin Thomas at 14. If I had to bet at the top ones, I would go Justin Thomas.
I agree with you, Bill. I could certainly see him putting on a green jacket. Maybe if not this year, sometime Justin Thomas is going to put on a green jacket.
You would think. Although this year's been kind of disappointing. The last few tournaments, he's had a chance to win, and he's gone backwards. I don't know what's going on. I think at times they swing so hard that it's hard to build to really keep the ball under control. You're going to hit some shots that are just ridiculously offline.
Yeah, but, you know, Charlie, Augusta's a little more open than most courses. And the one thing about speed is you can put a lot of spin on the ball. And as you know, one of the important things at Augusta is stopping that ball in the right quadrant of the green. So I think the distance is going to be a big deal this week because my understanding, Jay Haas played there a couple of weeks ago, said the course is very wet, muddy, fairways weren't good. They're not letting the players come in, I think, until this weekend. They weren't letting them come in weeks in advance. So, because you're trying to get the course ready. So, I don't know. I think you can afford maybe to be a little wild off the tee at Augusta more than you could, let's say, a Wingfoot or something. But the fact that he's always in contention, Charlie, is always a plus to me. And as you know, it's hard to win out there. And nobody seems to get more frustrated about it than him, which I like, which means that he plays to win. So, the fact that he's in contention a lot, I think, bodes well for him.
Yeah. You know, Patrick Reed has played pretty darn well this year, guys. And he's at 28. He's already got his jacket. So he likes that course. He plays well there. Colin Morikawa, 25-1.
Interesting kid.
He's already won a major.
PGA championship, yep. in the style. And then he kind of went underground. You know, success sometimes puts you, you know, you get that first $1 million check or, you know, your desire.
First major.
Yep, yeah, first
your,
major.
Your desire may be wane a little, or you get a little more distractions.
Yep.
But I like the kid, Bill. I think he's a...
No, I wouldn't. I don't think you worry about him. You know, he won the major, and we don't know maybe all the attention and stuff. He's not used to it, but he seems solid as a rock from what I can see. You know, he's had a mental coach since he was 9 or 10 years old, so... The bottom line is when these guys are playing good, and I've said it 1,000 times on this show, elite players make the game look easy when they're playing good. Fact of the matter is it's not easy. And so they play bad just like everybody else. Not every eight-footer goes in and things of that nature. So it's a difficult game, and we expect sometimes too much from these great players, in my opinion. So I wouldn't worry about him. He'd be the last person I'd worry about of the youngsters.
28. Patrick Reed is at 28-1. Webb Simpson, 28-1. Matthew Wolf at 28-1. Matthew Wolf, we've already seen him competing in a major. He didn't play all that well on Sunday, but he's got the length for this. It'll be interesting to see if he's got the nerve for it. You've worked with Webb Simpson, Bill, before. What about his game at Augusta?
Good. You know, another guy, you know, because he's not a monster hitter, everybody says he's a short hitter. He's not a short hitter. But Webb has got great hands, and he's very creative around the greens. He curves the ball. He works the ball. I would say a course like Augusta, other than not having the monster crazy length, would fit into the Webb Simpson. It's just a matter if he putts well, but he seems to have solved his putting with the shaft up the forearm. So, I would say Webb Simpson would be a great long shot pick if you were looking for one.
You know, a long shot. There's a long shot. How about an Adam Scott, guys? Adam Scott, obviously, he has his jacket.
Playing good this week, isn't he?
He is playing well this week, and he's 33-1 next week at Augusta, and he's playing well. You see him up at the top of leaderboards, so I wouldn't be surprised at all if Adam Scott isn't competing again next week.
His only Achilles heel is his short putting, short putting. I mean, I saw him miss a putt from 2.5 feet, but his ball striking is exceptional. Another guy that I like to watch on the practice range, and he hits the shots the same all the time, so that would be a good outside pick.
Yeah, absolutely. But how about the greens? We've talked about the fairways that it's not going to be as long. It's going to play longer, because you're not going to get the same rollout. It's going to be wetter. In September, the fairways were all brown, so the grass is coming in. And they're not used to playing it at this time of the year. What about the greens? Are they going to be the same glass greens? Those ice, the hood of the car.
I played there last year in late October, and the first day the greens were not slow, but not Augusta fast. And the very next day they cut them and they rolled them, and they were very fast. I would say not crazy fast, but. Certainly, I know I shot 74 with 5-3 putts, so they were a little fast for me, but they were definitely fast enough. So I have the feeling they have the sub-air condition. I think they can do whatever they want with the greens. I don't think that'll be an issue.
Yeah, the technology that they have, they can control the greens. The thing they can't control are the fairways. If we get any more rain, they had to keep the course moist because of the overseed.
Yep.
But now they probably have been able to, they can get on there with those fans and get those fairways a lot harder than probably they were 2 weeks ago, Bill. So I think they'll present a good golf course for the guys.
Oh, yeah. No, I wouldn't worry about it. I just don't think the fairways are going to be quite as good as normal, and if they're not, maybe it'll make their approach shots a little harder. I don't know. We'll have to see. I'm betting on Augusta, though, getting it pretty right.
Yeah.
No. I'd have to say I'm betting on them.
Yeah,
they've spoiled us basically. If it's not perfect, then we're shocked. You know.
Right. Exactly. No, it's going to be. No, it'll be. It'll look wonderful. Now, what the flowers won't be in though, huh? Are we going to see the azaleas?
No, I don't think, you know, they're
going to
have flowers that they can grow in you know, evergreen houses and pots, those yellow, beautiful flowers they have. But I don't think the magnolias will be out.
Azaleas, magnolias, azaleas. Whatever. Yeah, whatever they're going to be. So, well, we've got this week, and we're here in Houston, and we can't be proud of our golf course and the way it looks, Bill. And it's totally different. They put $35 million into this thing, and it just doesn't look like the same place that I saw went back in the day. I was wondering how they were going to do this here because they did. Memorial did host the PGA back in the day. Yeah. But that course that was just around just 2 years ago couldn't handle a PGA Tour event. But what they've done with this course now, spectacular.
And what we're finding out about Memorial Park, it's twice the size of Central Park in New York. There's so many other things that Jim has planned and through the foundation, making baseball diamonds, making soccer fields, getting more things. More activities for the public, so they're embracing the tournament too. They've improved the tennis complex. It's just a great tribute to Jim Crane, the Houston Astros Foundation, on what they're doing for our city and for our kids. So I'm really, really happy to be a Houstonian and see their success.
What they're doing, yeah. It is right. It really is. And it's just going to get better and better. There's all kinds of construction going on. I don't know what the plans are, but there's all kinds of construction going on around Memorial Park.
Oh,
I'm sure
gosh.
It's going to.
They're building a tunnel.
Yeah. Yeah. It's unbelievable what they're doing. It's just tremendous. All right. Good stuff. We got one segment to go. Billy's got to go. He's got a busy, busy day today. So
who's your favorite, Bill?
Yeah, Breeders' Cup, baby.
Breeders' Cup today.
Breeders' Cup.
Bill's sitting outside waiting. Bill's waiting for this show to end so he can go and see his horses. So we got one segment to go. We'll pick our winners, and we'll wrap it up on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
All right, we got a few minutes left here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance. Boys, we have a really nice weekend here in Houston. The weather's going to be perfect. As we mentioned, the winds have been nothing. It's been great. The guys, I would have thought, would have been dominating this course, but they certainly have not been. A lot of guys really struggling with it, as a matter of fact, shooting some big numbers out there. Some guys you wouldn't expect to, but they did. But we got a nice field. We've got Dustin is hanging around. Brooks Koepka's hanging around. Hovland, Tony Finau, Adam Scott. We got some good. Brant Snedeker, he was first day leader, and he's hanging around. I found it a little bit more difficult on day two.
I just got invited to ride around in the threesome with Dustin Johnson, Molinari. How about that? Yeah, Mark Carnival, who's a good friend of mine, he does the radio for PGA Radio, and he's just been listening to us. He says we sound good. So
good.
Mark's a great
boy. He's big timing you again, isn't he, John?
Yeah, he is. the bragging.
Oh, boy, Charlie.
The president. He says, hey, I'm a
going
president
for the next
now.
Best deal, boy.
Hey, ask John where he
By
got
the
his
end of the tournament, he'll be the pro at Memorial.
Hey. Bill, ask John where he got his tickets yesterday.
Well, I got them.
Well, I figured you took care of them.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Kibbe. Yeah. But Charlie set that up.
Why did you call me?
Because I didn't have his number. I'm not a big shot. I could have called Bill, too, though. Bill called him all the time for Astros tickets.
Yeah, Bill gets us a lot of tickets.
Yeah, that's right.
I haven't got one lately.
As you recall, I sent you the text last week, and I said Giles said he was hook you up. So
yeah.
Don't be acting like you're the one who got him.
Yeah, if you recall.
If
you'll recall.
Jeez.
That's good
recall,
stuff.
Charles.
I love this Saturday morning.
So, I saw Harold Varner bogey number two yesterday with that par three. And he bounced back, and he's two under. So that's good stuff. Way to bounce back, Harold.
Bounce back.
Two under. Still in it. Guys, I'm going to tell you what. There's a lot of guys and a lot of good players that are still in this thing. Yeah. Five, six strokes back, don't you think?
Yes, sir. I mean, this golf course can change really quick from 1 hour to the next, you know, depending on what – there's about six really hard holes. Starting with the par threes, they're really difficult because they're long and the ball is not receiving the green's not receiving the ball. It's throwing it
and hit it in the wrong spot, and guess what? It's rolling off.
Yep.
So don't do that. It'll be interesting to see. I like. There's a lot of good names. I'm going to pick Aaron Wise, guys. Aaron Wise at 4 under. Is going to come through and win this weekend. Jason Day is up there. We haven't even mentioned Jason Day. How about this guy? He's actually been playing better, guys. Yes, he has. He's been playing much better.
Yeah.
So maybe he's through all the injuries and the illnesses. Yeah. So maybe Jason Day is back to the kind of form that we saw him in.
I'm going with the forgotten one, Molinari.
Oh, the Molinari.
I'm going to watch him today.
He hadn't been playing much, and this is sounds like a precision course, and he's a precise player. Charlie will give his first-hand knowledge. He's riding around with
him. Yeah, he's going to ride around with yeah. He's
oh,
gonna,
yeah.
And I hope, you know, you're going to sit on your lap out there, Charlie, riding around?
I'd like to see Snedeker win.
Okay. We got some Brant Snedeker. There we go. There we go.
Charlie,
we're done. Hey, Billy, go have fun. Go pick us a winner, Bill. We're done. The Charlie Hebb's Golf Hour brought to you by Insperity, Inspiring Business Reform.
Thanks.